You are now listening to Cinema.
This is not a dream. Not a dream. We are using your brains like system as a receiver. Cinema. We are unable to transmit through conscious neural interference. You are receiving this broadcast as a dream. We are transmitting from year 1999. You are receiving this broadcast in order to alter the events you receive. Our technology has not developed a transmitter strong enough to reach your conscious state of awareness. But this is not a dream. You are seeing what is actually occurring. But what is some causality violation?
Sadiso.
Hey guys, how's it going? How you doing? Welcome to bonus episode, take two. Hey guys, welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Yes, it's Cinema Crespediso. We always be talking about movies, but not this one. This is our third talking TV bonus episode. I think we're trying to sort of do one per quarter, so I think we're on track for that. We have a whole bunch of shows to talk about, and to help me talk about these shows is the one and only Drew Sterkogberg.
What up, dude? I mean, as long as they make TV like movies, we might as well talk about them.
It's very cinematic now. When people talk about the golden age of television and all that, and how storytelling has shifted to the television medium, it's because it's gotten more cinematic.
Yeah.
A lot has to do with the shape of the TV itself, I think.
Yeah.
I think. When movies started,
they were wide.
10s, 20s, 30s. No, they were 4:3 frame. They were like TV. They were squares. Yeah. You went to the movies and it was a square. And then they made a TV. And they're like, oh shit, we're replicating the movie theater experience at home. That's when widescreen started coming out. And then started getting ridiculous cinema scope, widescreen, super, super wide. But the TVs were still boxes, square boxes. And you had the whole pan and scan shit. Man, I can't even imagine trying to explain to a kid born like after 2000 pan and scan.
They don't understand.
Like, we zoomed in on the movie to make it fit, but then there was like things happening and we artificially added. Oh my God.
Yes.
So insane.
Yes.
Right? But now TVs are 16:9.
They're all widescreen.
They're all widescreen. And a lot of movies are in that aspect ratio. And then there are more that are anamorphic, where then you still get the black bars, the letterboxing, as they call it. But I think that has a lot to do with just the fact that, and also, that's a positive in technology advancement. A negative that is helping make TV feel more like movies is that movies are feeling more like TV.
Well, yeah, because they're going digital.
Because they went digital, so you lost a lot of that depth and warmth, and now depending on the movie you're watching, the style of movie, it's like going to a theater to watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's why I got IMAX and shit like that. The big screen shit. But we're talking about TVs. We got a whole bunch of shows to talk about, and we're gonna, spoiler alert for every single show. If you don't want to hear specific details how season may have ended when we start talking about a show, just jump forward three, four minutes. Because we're not going to talk about each one for very long. Because it's still, we're trying to keep the show sort of short. So to start with, Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm. Season dos.
That was back
ended
in
a long time ago.
That was like back in February, March, right?
Yeah.
That was a long
time ago.
Winter, spring, long ass fucking time ago. Oh, you know what? I forgot to add to this list.
Huh.
Fargo season 2.
Oh yeah,
so all right. That was there.
That was so long ago too.
It was right around the same time. It was right around the same time as Better Call Saul. So we'll start with these two.
Very long ago.
Better Call Saul season 2. I do remember a decent amount of it. I remember thinking that it wasn't as bam, bam, it wasn't as hot as the first season. And like the first season was crazy. The second one took more time to build up the whole thing with him.
Well, yeah, but the second season was just as crazy.
I think it ended up being like, I mean, even bigger.
All the nonsense
end.
That he messed with his brother and fucking all that up.
Yeah.
And fucking.
And then how his brother got him with the very last like scene of the last episode. They ended on a cliffhanger, man. Mm-hmm. Like, oh shit.
They
what's
always
his,
do.
What's Michael McKean gonna do to. Not necessarily always. A lot of times the season might end just like, oh. The characters are going to be in a completely different place next season. This season ended with, oh shit, his brother has like fucking hard ass evidence on him. What's he gonna do with it?
Yeah, but we know.
We
know where story or Saul's story ends. We know how it ends for the most part.
As a strip mall lawyer,
exactly.
Yeah. Although with each new season, they did start with like the black and white scene. That's him like worked as a manager at a Cinnabon.
Yeah.
And between season one and season two, those opening scenes. It's like one day, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, because he gets and he gets locked outside at the end by a dumpster.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, he sits out there all fucking night and waiting for the guy to come in the morning.
As soon as the door opens, he gets up. Yep. Oh, shit, I forgot about that, dude. That is hysterical. Yeah, so how are they going to start the next season? And, you know, each season are these intro scenes are actually in the future.
Yeah.
They can add up to something.
Because they're after. Those intro scenes are after Breaking Bad. But the show takes place before Breaking Bad.
I wonder if they'll start doing episodes that are like whole episodes are black and white after Breaking Bad episodes. That would be cool. Because then the whole thing, based on their framing device, the whole episode would therefore have to be black and white.
Oh.
That'd be cool too. I like season two. I thought it was really good. Looking forward to season three, which they. When season one came out, AMC announced they had. I think when they did season one, they announced season two and three already. Either that or they announced one and two together. Either way, I don't know. Shit's happened.
I mean, as long as there are stories to tell, I will watch it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm interested in seeing.
You know, once it gets bloated and just crappy, then it's...
Right, which we'll get to a show like that in a second. But first, I want to talk about that Fargo season two.
Which was very good. What was with the aliens?
What was with the aliens? There was no... The aliens is for sure... A reference to The Man Who Wasn't There.
Okay.
Because The Man Who Wasn't There, with Billy Bob Thornton, Coen Brothers movie from 2001, has a running theme of aliens subliminally. There's like even the lampshades in certain scenes are supposed to look like UFOs, like 50s-style UFOs. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the movie, Billy Bob Thornton's character has like, I guess it's a dream sequence. It's not really explained. It's sort of, maybe it could be real. Like, saw an alien, a spaceship came down, like, shone a light on him, flew away, and then he just went like, eh, and then walked back inside. It was a dream sequence.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing, where there's aliens involved in the story, and it's sort of affecting things in a way.
But they're not addressed at all.
No one talks about it, everyone's just like, kind of brush it away. I think that's a direct callback to that. Because, well, both seasons of Fargo, there's like, in the very first, in the pilot episode of the first season, there was a poster for white Russians in the guy's basement.
The dude.
Like, why else? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why else would that be in there?
A nod to their previous work.
I feel like there's tons of shit like that, even things that we're missing.
Because of course.
Because they're going to be so, you know, minute in comparison. But that season was a prequel season, and it was dope. It was awesome. The sheriff, he talked about the massacre. It was Sioux City Massacre?
Yeah.
You talked about the massacre in the first season. Second season was that whole story about that.
Yeah, that was the massacre.
And the third season is, we were talking about it on Cinema Crest with Aceo, is going to be back in like sort of present day. It's after the events of the first season, but it ties into a character from the second season, but it's still going to be its own contained story.
I mean, it has to be, it has to tie into the Indian because he's the only one alive.
But it's pretty crazy.
Everybody else is dead, Chris.
The first season and second season, while having characters that tie them together and kind of overall themes and styles and stuff, they're still very separate. Very, like, you don't have to watch one season to understand the other.
No. Not at all.
And I think season three, they're planning on doing the same thing, which is interesting hybrid way of doing TV now, because first you have the shows that like a Breaking Bad, your typical tell a story over numerous seasons, and then you have stuff like American Horror Story, where it's a different story.
But the same actors.
Same actors, but different story, different characters. Fargo feels like a weird mix of the two.
You know?
Anyway, I thought it was good. And what's his name? Jesse Plemons?
He
put on some weight.
Yeah, he got
fat. Did he get fatter? Yeah, because he was a pretty thin dude normally. He's still young.
Yeah,
but now we know what he's going to look like when he's in his 50s.
Yep, he's going to be chubby.
We got an idea of that.
He'll be lucky if he has somebody as hot as Kirsten Dunst then.
Seriously, Good for him. Good for, especially how dumb he is in that show.
Yeah,
that, how dumb that character.
Both are. Of them, though.
Yeah, water found its own level in that situation. Mm. That was great.
I do like the little mini stuck scene
with the head and the in the. Man, that was crazy. Wow. That was a crazy show.
It was.
Very violent. Looking forward to what they do next. And whatever this Noah Hawley guy, the showrunner, I'm also looking forward to seeing whatever he does after the whole Fargo show. Like, let's see what else he got outside of, you know, homaging the Coen brothers, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he can do something else, right?
Perhaps.
It's like the True Detective guy, Nick Pizzolatto. He wrote or co-wrote or at least did a pass on the Magnificent Seven screenplay, which is like, oh, okay, that's, I wonder what his exact contributions were. House of Cards season 4 on Netflix. Man, like, this show has lost me.
I mean, it was good in the beginning.
I loved the first season. The second one was okay.
This season was, it was more of a relationship drama between him and his wife.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole show from the beginning was like, paid a lot of attention to that relationship, but this one was like,
but this episode, but this series, I mean, this season specifically,
and felt
was very much about it,
which made it feel more melodramatic and soap opera ish and kind of, you know, not as like edgy and cool as when the first season came around.
Yeah, when Kevin Spacey was throwing bitches in front of subways.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Wow.
And now he's just like, don't leave me. I want to be president again. Don't leave me. Yeah, I don't know. It's like the show is definitely... But I also thought the show was losing me in the third season. Like, when the fourth season rolled around, it's why it took forever to start. I was like, all right, it's...
Man, that's why.
Let's see what happened. What's the further adventures of Frank Underwood? Mm-hmm. Thinking about it, I think once he became president,
that's what got show.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, where are they going to go from here? I'm just going to try to maintain. What the fuck? Who gives a shit? Season 5 still coming.
Yeah,
and also season 5, the showrunner has left. Willimon.
He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, he decided he was done, and he left, and they're getting someone else to continue it, which is interesting. Probably because it's their, like, it's Netflix's show.
It's the one that started it all.
Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, they had other shows that they licensed, but this is
This was the first one they produced that fucking everyone was like, wow.
Yeah, like,
streaming services can do this?
They can do this. They can get David Fincher to direct 2 episodes of a show, and man, fucking, it's good.
Well,
yeah, for sure. So that's a lot to live up to for a season. But, you know, the original House of Cards that... This show is an adaptation of
the British one.
It only went like 2 short seasons. So there may have been 8-12 episodes total.
See, there we go. We should have just done the Rise of Power. Once Frank became president, we should have just fucked off.
Yeah, they should have taken that, like, you know what, they did it short, let's keep it short, but they decided to keep on going. And then it's a political satire. But now, you know, we may look back on 2016 as the year that political satire died, because how can you satirize what's going on? Shit's so insane now in real life.
Oh, but yeah, there's no way you can satirize the
all these shows.
The Donald is a living, satirical image of himself.
The way politics has gone this year, it's insane. Speaking of politics, Game of Thrones season 6.
Uh-huh.
A show that I feel is not wearing out its welcome.
No.
Even 6 seasons in.
No.
As a matter of fact,
it only took fucking 6 years for winter to get here, god damn it.
Yeah, it took a long time. Winter is it here though? I guess because the bird at the end.
The bird, yes. The White Ravens, that means winter's here.
Winter is finally here, and I guess it's going to be a long winter.
And it's going to be, it doesn't even start till next season.
Start next season, which is the last season, but technically they're doing a split last season.
Okay.
So it's like 2, I think 7 episode mini seasons.
Okay.
First one, I think, debuted to come out late 2017, as opposed to normally the seasons debut around the summer, spring, summer. I think 2017, for whatever reason,
fall, winter,
things are being pushed.
Winter's coming.
So it's going to be coming out towards the end of the year. It's going to be, you know, season 6 of all of them.
It was fucking insane.
Yeah, because like all the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah.
There are so many plot threads out there, and so many things have been going on for those 5 seasons.
Yeah, and now it's all coming back.
And it feels like, compared to the first 5 seasons, like this shit is going fast all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, people are dying.
Well, fucking, Jon Snow's dying and coming back to life.
Jon Snow died, came back.
Arya fucking...
The whole training mission. Yeah, she spent the whole season being trained into a badass assassin.
And then she decided not to stay.
Yeah, and then at the end she was like,
peace out, fuck you.
She's like, thanks for the training. I'm out with all these new skills I got.
And then she
killed that dude's sons and fed his own sons to him.
Yeah, which was awesome.
In a people pie.
Uh-huh.
And then killed him.
Yes.
With Needler.
Yes.
Needle.
But, yeah.
And then my favorite part was when, what's her name? Cersei. Blew up the church.
Dude, she blew up like a quarter of King's Landing.
With half the cast in there.
Well,
all the people she didn't need anymore.
The funny thing is.
These Lannisters.
With that, not only did she kill her own son.
Yeah.
No, she kept her son home.
She did kill Kevin. Kevin Lannister was over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Converted,
but here's the funny thing about that whole scene.
That we will see.
Jaime Lannister killed the Mad King because he was trying to do exactly what Cersei just did.
Yeah, but the Mad King wanted to like kill everyone indiscriminately because he was insane. Cersei was trying to save her own skin strategically from High Sparrow and all his followers.
Did you see the look Jaime gave her at the end?
Oh, yeah, sure. He wasn't too cool. It was definitely an act of villainy. I'm just saying I get it. I'm just saying hashtag Cersei was right. I'm feeling like as the season progresses, as the show progresses.
She's the worst of the worst.
I know, but for some reason, as the show progresses, I think it was this season and the Walk of Shame from last season and the struggles with her children and stuff. I like Cersei. I like her, and I don't mind seeing her in power. Doing what she's got to do. Plus, she's got the mountain.
I mean, that's fine.
She's got Franken Mountain.
That's fine.
I'm totally down with Team Franken Mountain.
At the end, she's going to be eaten by a dragon.
Yeah, I know. She's not coming to a good end, and that's fine. I still want to, kind of like her now.
Yeah, she's going to get eaten by a dragon.
I'm kind of like hashtag Cersei Chomp. Was right, hashtag Team Cersei type of shit. But yeah, she will either get dragoned up or whatever. Something's going to happen to her.
Yeah.
They reintroduced the Hound. He's back.
Yeah, he's back and he's a good guy now.
Does that mean?
Well, he was always kind of.
He's still doing his thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a bit more of a conscience this time.
Because
someone was nice to him.
Well, here's the thing.
For once, someone was nice to him and then he died.
Shout
out to Ian McShane.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
With Arya coming back,
mm-hmm.
He's good as dead.
Yeah, oh man, how is he going to feel about that? He was like, kill me, and she was like, no. Like, you don't deserve that. I wonder if he would respect that. Like, that's less. What I'm thinking is, Hound and the Mountain are brothers.
Yeah.
Is Arya going to team up with the Hound? Are we going to have Arya and the Hound versus Cersei and...
yes.
Versus Franken Mountain versus the Hound?
Probably.
That'd be badass.
I mean, and I'm sure... And I'm sure the way it's going to work is the Hound is going to quote-unquote win, just like the Mountain quote-unquote lost last time, and he's going to come back and fucking murder him.
No, so, yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be crazy. Pop out
his eyes.
Meanwhile, you got Brienne fucking Tarth is out there with Sansa, yeah. Right?
Sansa and Jon Snow. Jon Snow, after he came back to life, he was like, I got to find my sister who's not really my sister!
And Littlefinger and the Knights of the Vale.
Yeah.
Which is, Littlefinger's back in the picture.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, well, he's always been...
But he was out for a minute there. He was on the outs because of the whole, what's his name? Bolden.
Yeah, the Bolden.
The Roose. Yeah. Roose?
Whatever, he got eaten by his dogs.
Which was sweet.
That was awesome.
Sansa fed him to the...
Fuck yeah, she did.
That was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very crazy season. Lots of stuff going on. Very exciting. And the last 14 episodes are just going to be like... fucking crazy.
And don't forget you get your Hodor doorstop, Chris.
The Hodor.
The day after that episode aired,
yeah.
I saw the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing.
The Hodor.
The IKEA Hodor.
To hold the door. That was a long con. That was a long setup for that.
Dude,
thing
man, there, I know, right? But whatever. How crazy is that Bran... warged Hodor from the future for his whole life.
Yeah.
Sorry I made you retarded, but it was really important that you hold that door.
I had to get through because between seasons, I'm going to grow a foot and a half. And you know,
it'd still
also,
be a cripple.
Bran is all of a sudden. Anyway, good stuff.
Well, that's what happens when you start playing a character when you're like 12 and then puberty.
Oh, guys, it took you a minute. Guys, why didn't you take a break from my character for a whole season?
That's when I grew pubes.
BoJack Horseman season 3.
Another amazing season of BoJack.
It was great. It was him dealing with the whole the awards campaign, not Oscar, trying to get to Oscar, yes. The awards campaign for Secretariat, mm-hmm. while he, the whole time knowing that he was CGI replaced.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't his performance at all.
Yeah.
Another existential dilemma for Mr. BoJack.
Or how about the episode where he was, in the undersea world, hanging out with that weird fucking seahorse baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck was that episode all about?
Doing like a baby's day out, trying to track it down with no dialogue.
So weird.
It was like 95% dialogue free. That was a good episode. It was a crazy episode. I think they were just like, how can we do an episode that's dialogue free? And they smoked a lot of weed and they came up with that.
They did.
I think it's a fun show, man. Yeah. It's crazy how it definitely does the thing really well, where it mixes the comedy and the drama, and like half the episode you're like, man, this is some crazy funny shit. And then all of a sudden they hit you like a truth bomb. You're like, whoa.
What I couldn't believe.
I recognize my own foibles and failures in BoJack.
Well, yeah, because BoJack Horseman is an awful. I mean, if he was a human being, he would be an awful human
he's
being.
He's awful. He's a terrible. He's a terrible character.
Yeah.
Yes. That's, and he knows it. Season 3. He's
well.
Like,
see, the thing is, he's
like, I know.
He's struggling with it.
Yes. It's his burden to bear.
Yes.
That he's a charming asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people want to like him, but
they
then
can't
he's like,
because he's
just such a douche.
Yeah, he's pretty unlikable.
And it's just like, damn it.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff.
It is.
I'm looking forward to seeing this guy. He kind of bursts on the scene with this. I read a really good article. Oh, man, I don't know. If you look up his name, Bob, like Raphael Waxberg or something, and then profile, there's a really cool interview profile with him about the producing BoJack and ideas for it. And
I was about to say, whoever the creative team behind it is, they have a keen insight on like the Hollywood psyche.
Well yeah, and the fragile psyche of like the fragile male psyche, especially a middle-aged one. That's that main dude, that Bob Raphael Waxberg Raphael, whatever. I'm not bothering to look at anything up here. Yeah, it's him. He's like the one really behind it. Obviously, it's a team effort. He has writers, and I wonder how much the actors bring into it, into their performances.
I mean,
like Paul F. Tompkins as Mr. Peanut Butter. Come
on, amazing. Yeah, I can't believe there's only one doctor on the entire Labrador Peninsula.
The Labrador Peninsula. that was Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The running bit with him, well, that's just one episode, I guess, where he wanted to watch Bones. He's like, come on, I want to watch the show Bones.
It's not, Diane was not like, the show you think it is.
Yeah, Diane was like, I don't think it is what you think it is. And then later he's watching it by himself. Yeah. And then every time someone says Bones, his ears perk up. He's like, he just seems so excited. He's like, Bones.
Or how about, what was it? What did he end up buying? He bought like
the spaghetti strainers.
Spaghetti strainers. And then at the end, somehow they needed all of them.
Like,
and he came in Mad Max fucking Fury Road style.
That
fucking
was
insane.
Yeah, you could see that one, set that one up, because they kept mentioning the strainers. And I was like, oh, this has got to pay off. And then pays on the very last episode of season. Man, it's a great show.
It is.
Great show. Great intro. Great intro. So you love that intro.
The greatest intro of all time.
You consider it the greatest intro of all time.
It is.
If you disagree with the Mantahero 419 on the internet,
let me know.
Let him know and he'll block you. A couple shows that are just starting. Loving them both. One getting more buzz than the other. Let's talk about that one. Stranger Things.
Very good. I mean, if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and you watched, you know, television and movies. You will know exactly what this show is and what it's about, and you'll fucking love it.
Yeah, if you're in your mid-30s, early to mid-30s, this show is created by people in their early to mid-30s.
It's made for you.
Who watch the exact same stuff. Yeah, it's made for you. It's from the font choice, the Stephen King-style font choice, to the Survive, produced synth score.
I was about to say, the music, the kids, the every. I mean, it's
all designed to bring back
all those feelings.
Yes, yes.
Your feelings of E.T., of the Goonies,
yes,
of, you know, all that classic shit.
All the John Carpenter, the synth score, mm-hmm, stuff. Yeah, 100%. They nail it, and it helps, too, that it's, I think it's a fun, cool story.
Well, and I like it, too, that they went the way of the 80s and early 90s, where, yeah, the movie was about kids, but the shit that was happening to them was very adult situations.
Yeah, yeah, it's like kids in trouble, like, doing some crazy shit, like, where are the adults at? And typically, when you're talking, like, Amblin Entertainment, when you're referencing E.T. and Goonies, the parents are almost, they're there, but they're absent. Here, the parents were still
very,
kind of involved.
Very active. Yeah, but just that was a side story. Well, yeah, like the kids were doing their thing, and the parents were doing their own thing.
Yeah, going through ownership. Winona Ryder, great.
Yeah.
David Harbour as the sheriff,
pretty fantastic,
awesome guy. All the kids were great, right? Eleven and the trio, mm-hmm. and we really didn't get much of that kid. The one kid was really a MacGuffin for the season.
Yeah,
well, he was the missing kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get him back. And then, well, obviously, he's going to be involved in season two more because season one ends with him. Like, he's in the bathroom, and he has that, like, for a second, he sees, like, the underside. What they call it, the upside down?
The upside down.
He sees the upside down. It's like, wah! Yeah. And then it goes away.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, that kid's fucked. So we'll get more of that, which will be cool. And then, I guess, other people were in the upside down. Well, that happens then, too. I hope so. Because a bunch of people were in there. The showrunner said, we'll find out what happened to Barbara. Barb?
Okay.
That's not going to be a forgotten thing. Although we see her. She's fucking... She like got cocooned or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, by that
way. Right? Didn't something come out of her mouth at one point? Like,
I don't remember.
I assume she was dead.
So did I.
But they're like, no, we'll be talking more about Barb. Here we go. More. People like Barb for some reason. Huh. I think just felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, I loved it.
Very good. Very good stuff on Netflix. Preacher, season one on AMC.
Another... I mean, these comic book... themed things are killing it these days, Chris.
It's a wild fucking show, man. It is. And apparently not even the tip of the iceberg of what happens in the comic book lore.
Yeah, no.
It's all big, big setup to actually the comic book.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, we're getting some pretty crazy stuff, but this is... The first season is... Depending on how they're going to do it, has the potential to be really tame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comparatively.
Totally. I mean, this season involved angels, yes. right, who came to Earth who couldn't be killed.
Uh-huh. Vampires.
Vampires. It had... what's
Genesis.
The Genesis. The spawn of an angel and a demon that was locked away, but a bust out and it was inside Preacher the whole time. But that was fucking crazy shit. Uh-huh. Tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Season ended with... Preacher, his Tulip, his ex-girlfriend,
and a vampire
Cassidy, probably my favorite character, Cassidy. Mm-hmm. He's so awesome. The three of them hitting the road looking for God.
Well, yeah, because they gotta go tell him what the fuck's up
because God is absent. Because they use the heaven phone.
Yeah, and they're
if
like,
you don't, if you didn't watch this show and you're listening to a speaker, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But they use the heaven phone to call heaven, and some guy was pretending to be God,
and he's like, fuck you, you're not God, where is he? And you're like, oh shit, we don't know.
They admitted, like, we don't know. And he's like, we're gonna go find him. And then didn't Odin blow up the town? How did the town end up blowing up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was
they wiped it off the map. Here's the thing.
Because it was Odin had the beef and the power. It never really talked about the power plant, and then you realize it's a methane power plant, which basically means he's just got an underground room filled with cow dung.
Yeah.
And all the methane builds up, and then that goes off through pipes and burns off, and that's how you make power.
Beef and power.
But so yeah, funny. It.
And then something got fucked up.
Something
right?
got fucked up, and it all exploded. And the entire town. And kaboom.
The entire town, including nerdy church girl and her kids.
Everybody.
Those kids are dead. Those three kids are fucking dead.
Nerdy church. Nerdy church girl. Totally fed the mayor to a vampire.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. I was like, oh, you're going to have to live with those consequences, but not for very long, apparently, because the town blew up. Wild fucking show. Crazy show. Definitely looking forward to season two, which will be... they announced season two for sure, thank God. I was, like, waiting for that official announcement, hoping that it was getting good enough ratings. I don't know what kind of ratings AMC is looking for to bring shows back, because they will not bring a show back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, remember Low Winter Sun? Exactly! Exactly, the cop show with Mark Strong and that guy who was in Snatch, that black guy who was one of the trio of
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
The show starts with those two guys murdering someone, and then you find out they're cops, and then they're assigned to the case of their own murder.
You're right.
And then the episode ends with one of them like pointing out a detail on the corpse that's like, this wasn't a drowning, this was obviously a murder. And then they're like, yeah, that's right, keep looking. And then they're like, okay, we'll keep looking for ourselves. And then I was like, what the fuck is this show about? And then I stopped watching. Actually, I think I watched a second episode.
And then it was over.
And no desire to go back to it. And then they ended after the first season.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shows like that. Feed the Beast, that's going to be one. I guarantee that shit ain't going back.
No
one likes that one. Stupid. David Schwimmer wants to open a restaurant. No, yeah. Sturgis wants to open a restaurant.
Nobody cares.
No one cares. Preacher coming back, though. Dope show. Very weird. Very cool. Looking forward to more of that. OJ, Made in America, the ESPN documentary series.
It was eye-opening to watch the first, like, two episodes because it was the whole...
The pre-murder stuff.
Yeah, it was the whole setup of who is OJ Simpson.
First episode, who is OJ?
And how did he get to where he was?
Yeah.
And
what did that mean in the American landscape?
What did that mean in the American...
Yeah, like, exactly.
And
culture.
And I thought all that was very interesting.
And then the second episode is like, what's happening in America in the 80s and 90s around him, especially when it comes to race relations. We're going to get into Rodney King and the LA riots.
Because for
stuff.
All intents and purposes, OJ had nothing to do with that, any
no,
of that.
No,
in,
he was...
In his own words, I'm not black.
I'm OJ.
I'm OJ.
He was very much about trying to transcend race personally without taking any responsibility as a community leader or trying to help other black people. He was like, I'm a transcend race. You other motherfuckers got to do it your own way. You know, a lot of people think that way. That's when you see people like Jerry Rice or who else recently do the whole All Lives Matter thing. Like, just because you guys make a lot of money, all of a sudden you'd be thinking like white people too.
Yes.
Yeah, those first two episodes are very, very eye-opening in terms of putting the OJ trial in perspective of who OJ is and race relations in America at the time. 3 and 4, those are the OJ trial episodes where, I mean, on top of just watching the show.
Yeah, I also lived through it.
I watched it on Court TV every day after school for like a year straight because it was the longest fucking trial, man. So it was good, but the thing is it's... 5 installments, and they are long as fuck.
Yeah, 5 hour-and-a-half installments.
Like hour and 35, hour 40. Yeah. They are long.
It's 5 movies.
Pretty much. Epic, though. Really well put together.
If you've got some time.
If you got time, it's worth dipping into for sure. I definitely like them. And let's finish this off with the show that just finished. It just finished. So if you haven't caught up on this show, definitely recommend you stop listening probably, so thank you very much. We appreciate it. CinemaCrespiso@gmail.com, ChrisCrespo.com. Mr. Robot, season 2.
Dope. Probably the best season yet.
Man, I love that show so much.
Between the music cues and the everything. I mean,
the everything.
The fact that you're watching this thing for like the first 4 episodes and then...
And then they pull the rug.
And then they pull the rug out from under you in like 30 seconds. And then you have to sit there and go back to the last 3 episodes in your head and put it all together to make sure that it still works. I mean, it does.
And then the episode finally, they do give you, like, they show you, okay, Craig Robinson was the warden the whole time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
So you get all Fight Clubbed again.
Yeah, they're just continuing Fight Club.
To think that, you know, I should have seen it coming. I mean...
Well, okay, so we're watching it, right? In the first 3 or 4 episodes, he's talking about how he moved back in with his mother, who doesn't have much technology. But when people visit him, he's like at his mom's house. He's sitting at a table with the other person, like Gideon. Gideon visits him, right? And I think Angela visits him also. Yeah. And
they're just sitting there.
And they're just sitting there in the living room, and the mom's watching TV in the other room, and it's all very awkward and weird.
Yeah.
You thought it was at a halfway house. I remember you told me. It's like, I think he's at a halfway house. And I was like, no, he said he's at his mom's house. And then it turns out it was actually out of prison all the time, which is why it's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Why his mom busts into the room and is like, time to wake up, you know? And he's on this weird schedule.
Yeah.
The whole thing, going to watch the basketball game every day.
Yeah, well, because outdoor time, get out, go.
Yeah. And the whole Leon thing. Leon, right? That's his name?
What, the black guy?
Yeah, Joey Badass.
Yeah.
Guy's name is Badass, and the S's are dollar signs.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you're a rapper.
Come on, America.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, he fucking killed it.
It was great.
But figuratively and literally. At the end where he fucking shanks those 5 dudes, and he's sitting there covered in blood like, so when you see White Rose, just tell him where I was like, yo, I helped out, you know? Just let her know.
And then he pops up again at the very, very, very end.
Yeah, and he's like, what's up? How's it going?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck. Like,
I think they're fucked. I don't think you want this guy to show up on your doorstep.
No.
Yeah, you know what? You know when I realized, though, that I was really, really into the show? Like, the first, that crazy split
well, how about
part
this,
one, part 2.
Yeah, I was about to say, how about this scene when they played Phil Collins and he burned a pile of money.
Yeah, the take me home, burn the money scene. The beginning of part two of the season opener.
That's when I was sold right there.
I mean, that was amazing.
I'm done.
That whole first episode, that hour and a half, those two parts, was amazing. Like, such a good way to set up the show. But the episode before, when we find, so we find out Elliot's in prison the whole time.
Yeah.
We don't get back to him until two episodes later, because the episode in between, it's all the remnants of F Society and Angela and what her and E-Core. And that whole episode, they were doing their thing, and it was over, and I was like, I was riveted that whole time. I wanted to know what was happening to all these people.
That scene with her and White Rose just sitting in that room, fucking...
In the last episode, dude, that fucking David Lynch Twin Peaks, it's like the all-black room with the fish tank with the water going down, signifying time. And then they're having that conversation. It was like, I'm giving you 28 minutes. You don't know how generous that is. You're getting a full 28 minutes right now. And then as they're having a conversation, White Rose's watch keeps going doo-doo every minute.
Yep.
And after the sixth or seventh doo-doo, I was like, are they going to have the entire 28-minute conversation? Are we going to listen to 28 beeps? Like, that's going to be fucking crazy. But then White Rose reveals, is like, I don't want your acquiesence, pretty much. I want your belief.
Yeah, I want you to believe.
I want you to be on my side. And then it cuts to Angela. She's like, huh? And then it fades to black. And I was like, no! And then I read an interview with Portia Doubleday talking about the season finale and all that stuff. And I don't think they wrote, like, whatever the rest of that conversation would be or whatever White Rose would have told Angela. They didn't write it down, and they definitely didn't tell her, because she was like, I wonder what it is. I can't wait for next season to find out myself. Like, the actors are the same way. Like, I can't wait to get the script to see what's going on next. So that's like, White Rose hacks time. I still want to go with, like, some sort of time travel simulation type thing.
I mean, perhaps...
The Back to the Future references were heavy in that season.
I mean, whether it's hacking time or maybe some sort of alternate... Because, I mean, seriously... Alternate
reality type, yes.
Because here's the thing, Chris. When, at the end, when the dude with the beard and the other girl were sitting outside, whatever Best Buy type thing, blah, blah, blah.
And they're using alternate...
Eating lunch.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, Primer. They're just sitting there in white things with ties, just chilling and talking. That was the entire fucking movie.
But yeah, that's true. Very Primer-ish. Oh man, could there be more of them? But that ending with the two of them, the F Society, because they just disappeared that one episode.
Yeah.
I thought the Dark Army got them, but maybe the Dark Army did get them because they have them in like living somewhere else in the desert.
It's seriously
with assumed names, and one of them's like, I want to go. The girl's like, I want to go back, and Fat Dude's like, no. This is cool. The weather's nice.
Well, because she says that she can put it all back the way it was.
Yes.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible at all. Could that be possible? Especially if they blow up the records building. If that happened.
Like I said,
I wonder if that happened.
Well, Elliot definitely got shot.
He definitely got shot.
So.
But then Tyrell called Angela, so he sounded like he was stable. She was like, I want to make sure I'm the first one there when he wakes up. Yep. They're not going to kill Mr. Robot.
Well, no.
He is Mr. Robot. But by the end of the episode, by the end of the season, they did have a full split.
Yeah.
And Elliot was like, he was aware of it. At one point, they were like best buds, but then they turned on each other again. And man, shit's fucking crazy. The show is crazy, dude. The show's so crazy.
It's nuts.
And then I was thinking the whole huge reveal of whatever they were building up to, some crazy meta shit. I thought that happened in the last episode. The big reveal was that they were continuing the Fight Club Space Monkeys program.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready to blow up the records building.
Uh-huh.
All the paper records. Yes. All the deeds and shit, man. Mm-hmm. Which is the Fight Club, when they blow up the credit building.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
It is.
Someone saw Fight Club and was like, I can take this even further.
Yeah, exactly. With hacking and other nonsense.
And Bitcoin and international intrigue. Now we have E-Corp cutting deals with the Chinese government.
Well, no, exactly. And they're delving more into the fractured psyche of the main character.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because in Fight Club, you see it all, and then boom, the rug gets pulled out for you at the end. Yeah. And then
he deals with it for like the last 15, 20 minutes.
Well, no, exactly. So you only get, you know... The reason why you think the movie's so cool is because you're going back in your head like, oh yeah, they're both there, but that means only one of them. So you put it all together. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but with this, I mean, that happens like almost in like the first couple of minutes.
Well, you find out about because you find out about that big reveal, the Tyler Durden reveal, happens in season one. Season two is him dealing with it.
Exactly.
He knows the whole time. It's very interesting exploration of a person with
mental illness.
With a very serious mental illness.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant person with a very serious mental illness, which makes him scary.
Yeah.
Makes Ellie very scary. He's a good guy and the bad guy at the same time.
He is.
Feel a little bit for the FBI agent there. What's her name? Dom?
Yeah.
Who's she's all lonely. She's like, Alexa, do you love me? And Alexa's like, I'm incapable of love. And then she just like rolls over like, oh. It's like, oh, she's the only like, quote, good person on the show. The only good character.
Yeah.
With truly altruistic intentions.
Everybody else is pretty awful.
Everyone else has, they're double dealing. They're doing their own thing. They have their own reasons. She just wants to like do her job, and she's like the saddest, loneliest one of all, and just kind of sad too.
Yeah,
listening to her self improvement.
Yeah, but tapes. She almost.
But she's also but taking she's made agency, it that though. Way. She made it that way, but then she's also. She's like, on one hand, like, woe is me, I'm so weak. But then on the other hand, she's like, no, I'm tough, I can do this. And then she goes far beyond what like anyone else would do. She's like helping hacking computers and shit on FBI.
Yeah.
And she's interesting. Yeah. Like, what's her true motive?
She just wants to get high and watch some TV with Elliot.
She did. Back to the Future Part 2.
They just want
to
get high and watch TV.
She wanted to get high and watch Back to the Future Part 2. And instead, she's trying to bring E-Core down from the inside, but also with a sweet corner office.
Yeah, weird.
I know, right? All right, guys. Well, I think it's great. You think it's great?
Yes.
We think it's great. Watch all these shows. Obviously, we like all these shows because why else would we... Well, House of Cards is more of an obligation thing. But the rest of them, we like them. We watch them the whole thing. That's why we're talking about them. Next time we do this, we'll be talking about Atlanta.
Fuck yeah, that show is so awesome.
Show is great. Episode 4 is tonight.
Everything's made up, Chris. Stay woke.
So good. So wild. That show is wild. And Luke Cage starts this weekend. Yeah. And man, I'm excited for that. I avoided like pretty much... I watched one 30-second like trailer commercial thing online. And say, yeah, it's fine. It's good enough. I'm going to watch the show. I don't need to... Yeah, no, anything spoiled for me.
Yeah, no. I don't need to watch anything. I know I'm going to watch the show.
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about those two shows, and we'll see what else when we do the next Talking TV. You know, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. So, hey, if you guys have been watching any of these shows and you want to give us your reviews, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We'll read them in the Vox Populi in episodes 195 and 196 next couple of weeks. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
Hell yeah. And hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. And if you can find me on Facebook, find me. I don't give a fuck. Drew gives a fuck, though. You have to like look him dead in the eye.
You have to know me personally.
And shake his hand.
I have to have met you.
That's
how I keep the riffraff out, Chris.
Yes.
There's a lot of riffraff out there.
It's the fact. Guys, stop being riffraff. Start being real. The real world. We'll be back soon. I don't know. That's a terrible ending. Let's do another ending. Guys, be excellent to each other. Bill and Ted style. But beware of the bogus journey. It is not an excellent adventure. Because they went to hell. Remember how they went to hell?
Yes.
That wasn't cool, guys.
They faced off against death.
Okay. I'm hungry.